The fourth perek starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which discusses what we saw in the prior perek, the prohibition of removing certain stones from one's home property. And it goes through a historical analysis that originally there wasn't really a problem. That's not working the field. And indeed, Chazal over time had to be more machmir about this. And we'll also see, interestingly, that the prohibition or non-prohibition doesn't only apply to removal of stones during the Shemitah year, but also to wood, sticks, grass, etc. as well. So Brishona, Hayuomrim, initially Chazal said, Melaket Adam Eitzim, Va'avanim, Va'asavim, Mitoch Shelo, would be permitted. Somebody was permitted to gather up and remove, be it Eitzim, be it wood, Avanim, stones, Asavim, grass, from his own property, just like Kederech Shu Melaket Mitoch Shel Chaver, just like he could assist in gathering up from his friend's property. However, Es Hagas Hagas, this applied when it came to his own property. He was permitted to only remove the big stuff, while from his friend, somebody he knew or didn't know, but he was able to assist somebody and remove even small stuff as well. However, Misharabu Ovrei Avera, when those who did an Avera, those the people on their own property, instead of just gathering the large stuff, large stone sticks, grasses, etc., they also gathered small stuff, so Chazal had to hiskinu shiyezeh milaket mitoch shalzeh vezeh milaket mitoch shalzeh. Chazal instituted, you're not permitted to remove even the small stuff from your own property because people weren't distinguishing between big and small, and they instituted you can only be milaket, you can only work on somebody else's field in removing only large items, and somebody else, but not you, can work on your field only removing large items, because they weren't going to remove small items because you weren't permitted to pay them. Shelo b'tova means you could not show appreciation, you couldn't pay them. If somebody's not getting paid for working in somebody else's field, he'll do a favor, but on a cursory basis, taking out the big stuff, but they would not remove the small stuff, which is what Chazal wanted. Vein tzarech lomar sheyiktzos lahem mizonos. And obviously, you would not be permitted to pay somebody to work in your own field, because then they would remove the small stuff. Mishnah Beis continues, Sadesh shenis kavtza. If somebody indeed has a field and he cleared it of thorns. Now, what we're talking about in this Mishnah here is if somebody did what he should not have done during the Shemitah year, in certain circumstances, there is a knas, a penalty by Chazal, that the person would not be permitted indeed to plow, plant his field on the year after the Shvi. So that's a penalty. You violated the Shemitah years, you can't use the field the year after. However, that was only the case when they really prepared the field fully for use after the Shemitah. Then you weren't allowed. But if you just did a violation, but didn't prepare the field for the next year, for after Shemitah, then the penalty did not kick in. So Sadashinik Avsa, somebody removed the thorns. See, the thorn bushes or thorns, it's a machlok, it's what it's talking about. Tizara b'motzei shvi'is is permitted for him to plant the year after Shemitah ends, because simply removing thorns is prohibited, but it doesn't fully prepare the field to be planted. There's more work that is necessary. So the penalty would not kick in. However, Shinitaiva, if the person plowed the field during the Shemitah real well, Oshinidaira, or he fertilized it real well during the Shemitah year, so that field is ready to go for right after Shemitah, the knas, the penalty of Chazal, kicks in. Lo Cesar b'motzei shvi'is, he's not permitted to plant it the year after Shemitah. Sadesh and Itaiva, continuing with the same concept, if somebody indeed plowed his Shemitah field, but real well, Beishamai Omrim, Ein Ochlin Peroseh b'shvi'is, Beishamai says, you're not permitted to eat the Shemitah produce during the seventh year, during Shemitah, because the person plowed his field well. Lo Beishalal Omrim Ochlin, the person certainly violated the Shemitah laws by plowing, but it does not prohibit you from eating the produce that grows on the Shemitah year. Beishamai Omri, Meimochlin Perish Vish Betova. Beishamai is of the view, if you go into somebody else's field during the Shemitah year, that's permitted. You're allowed to. Not a problem. The issue that we're grappling with is, are you allowed to say thank you? So Beishamai says, you're not allowed to say thank you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can go into that field. That field is hefker. The fruit in the field actually is hefker. You're permitted to go and eat it. Don't say thank you. Don't give off the impression that the person owns that field anymore. This is the Shemitah year. He doesn't own the produce. Rebbeis Hillel Omri Mochlin Betova V'Shelo Betova. Rebbeis Hillel is lenient and they're of the view that you can eat. Certainly you can eat. But You want to say thank you, you can say thank you. You don't want to say thank you, you don't have to say thank you. No problem. Either way works. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chiluf Advarim. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view, you switch the opinions here, and it's Beis Hillel who is being Machmir, don't say thank you. And Zome Kule Beis Shammai Mechamri Beis Hillel. This is one of the unusual cases where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is Machmir. Mishnah Gimel is discussing, can somebody lease during the Shemitah year, but not for use yet, a Jew, can he lease the field of somebody during the Shemitah year as a choker, as a tenant farmer, for after the Shemitah year? So he's going to pay after the Shemitah year, but the thing is, he's renting it, he's leasing it. The word I was looking for is a sharecropper, so that's a choker. A choker is a type of sharecropper that doesn't pay a percentage of the yield, but pays a set fee in produce. So I'm going to pay you 10 cartons of oranges per year or something like that. So you can sign the deal on Shemitah, even though you know the person is going to plow it on the Shemitah year because he has to give you a plowed field right after the Shemitah year. But that is only if the deal is with a non-Jew. The non-Jew is an owner because he's not prohibited in plowing during the Shemitah year. So the Mishnah says, Chokrim, we can enter into that sharecropper agreement, nirin, to have a plowed field, mina ovde kachavi meshrid, with a non-Jew during the Shemitah year. You sign the deal during the Shemitah, he hands over a plowed field after Shemitah, he didn't violate the Shemitah laws, he's not obligated of alomi, so, but you can't enter into such an agreement with the Jewish owner of the field, because that would cause that Jewish owner to plow the field on the Shemitah in violation of the Shemitah laws. Obviously, we're talking about in the land of Israel. It's interesting, halacha now, that it is permitted to give encouragement to non-Jews who you pass, and they are planting in the Shemitah year in the land of Israel. You can say to them, Yashar Koach, you should have a hatzlacha in your yield, because they're not violating the Shemitah laws. Aval lo yidei Yisrael, but if a Jew is planting or working his field during the Shemitah year, you cannot indeed give him encouragement. You have to tell him to stop, because he is violating the halachas of Shemitah, v'sholem v'shlomam, and also we are permitted to ask the non-Jews how they are doing, mipnei darkei sholem, because of darkei sholem, to have good, peaceful relations with the non-Jews. We're talking about some of the mefarshim explained, even on a non-Jewish pagan holiday, it would still be permitted to be polite to them and ask how they are doing to keep up good relationships with the non-Jews. Mishnah Dalet discusses removal of trees during the Shemitah year, and the two issues that we have to deal with. Number one is there's a general prohibition of pruning zemura on the Shemitah year, and this is fairly similar. Pruning means removing branches from a tree so the rest of the tree grows better. Here we would be removing certain trees, two trees, in order to give room for the other trees to go better. So that's one problem that we're going to have to get over. And the way to get over that, Tosfos Yontov explains based on the Rambam that we're talking about someone who is removing trees for a purpose not to improve the other trees and improve growth, but the person needs firewood or needs the wood for construction. So because his intention is not to improve the other trees, but he needs the wood, that would be permitted. But we also have the second problem of marasayin. We have to make sure that we're not giving off the impression that we are preparing this field to be worked now or after the Shemitah. We're improving it in order to work it. So hameidel bezeisim, somebody indeed is going to remove olive trees from his orchard. So he's going to take out some of the trees. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai is the view. When he does it, Yagom, he has to leave the roots there, because if you remove the roots as well, it looks like you were working the land. Beis Hillel Omrim, Misharis Beis Hillel was more lenient. They are of the view that you are indeed not only permitted to be made, they'll remove certain trees. We'll see how many in a little bit. But you can even remove the roots when it's permitted to remove the tree. Amodim, and Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai to be machmir, b'machlik, when it is a situation that you're clearing out a certain area of the field, for example, an area that was big enough to be planted, not simply a tree or two, but you're taking out an area in the orchard that there's a concern that people see you removing a number of trees, then they're going to think that you're doing it in order to plant a field. In that situation, in a situation of machlik as opposed to meidel, Even Beis Hillel agrees that you cannot remove the roots. You have to leave the roots in the ground. Now we're going to define Ezu Amedo. What is the concept of Amedo that is permitted, according to Beis Hillel, to even remove the roots? Echad or Shnayim, when you're removing one or two trees, Beis Hillel has the view that you can be lenient and remove the roots as well. However, Hamachlik, where Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai that you have to leave the roots in, we can't be lenient there. Shlosha Zebetzadze, when you're removing a cluster of three together, that's where we have the concern that people are going to think, indeed, that you're removing the trees in order to plant that area. And accordingly, Beis Hillel also there is Machmir and requires the leaving of the roots. If we leave the roots, it's clear to people watching that this is really not preparing this field to be planted because the roots are there. So there's not going to be a marsayim b'med very memorim that we have these limitations on meidel machlik mitoch shelah when you're working in your own property. Aval mitoch shel chaver, however, if you're doing this, you're removing without payment. Obviously, you're removing trees from somebody else's property. Afa machlik yishar is even somebody who's removing three trees, so it would look like you are preparing the ground, but it's somebody else's property, so people understand that you are not doing it to prepare the ground. There, you can be lenient, yesharesh. You can even take the roots out. People understand that it, because it's in somebody else's property, you are removing those trees for the firewood and not indeed that you are preparing the field to be plowed, planted, etc. Mishneh deals with cutting off branches for wood. So not removing a tree or two trees or three trees, but cutting off branches for firewood. Hamafkia bezayis, if somebody indeed cuts off wood, and it is permitted to cut off wood from an olive tree, but what do you do afterward? The Mishnah says, lo yechapeo be'afar, you cannot cover where you cut with dirt, because that dirt will get wet, it becomes mud. That is something that is beneficial for the growth of the tree, and we cannot do things to trees that improve their growth. We can do things to avoid hurting them. So aval mechaseh hu ba'avanim o'bekash, you can indeed cover it with stones or rocks, pebbles, or with straw. That would not be a problem, because that's simply keeping the tree from drying out. So that's to prevent harm to the tree. That's permitted, but not to put something positive on that cut so that the tree grows better. Hakotzetz Koros Shikma. We are now talking about a Koros Shikma is the name of the sycamore tree that has been cut before. So we'll see shortly that when you have a sycamore tree that has never been cut, that's called a Besula Shikma. It's never been cut. The first time you cut the wood, for example, you cut it a few tvachim from the ground, it is going to stimulate a regrowth in a significant way. However, after that first cutting down of the tree, it doesn't stimulate growth. It just grows normally. Accordingly, that is permitted during the Shemitah year. So somebody who cuts down Koros HaShikma, a sycamore tree that has been cut before, again, the same halacha as we saw before, lo yechapeo be'afar, you can cover it up with dirt. That is going to be positive for the tree. Afal mechaseh u'bavanim abakash, but you can cover it with pebble stones or with hay, with straw. That's not a problem. That's not facilitating growth. However, ein kotzezim besula shikma b'shvi'is, during the Shemitah year, you're not permitted to cut the besula shikma, that is the sycamore tree that has never been cut before, mibnei shi'avod, because that is prohibited work on the Shemitah, because that will stimulate the growth back of the wood of the sycamore tree. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Kedarko, Rebbe Yehuda is more lenient that you can indeed cut that. Excuse me, Rebbe Omer Kedarko. So when we're talking about cutting the sycamore, the besula shikma, the sycamore tree that has never been cut, you are not permitted to cut it in the normal way that those are cut, which means if you cut within 10 tfachim of the ground, that is when growth is stimulated in the besula shikma. But what you can do is cut it 10 tfachim and above, because that does not stimulate growth. Or gomem me'al ha'aretz, what you can do is you can cut it all the way down to the land, because that doesn't stimulate growth in the besula shikma. Next, Mishnah Vav, hamizanev bekafanim v'akotzes kanim. If somebody is trimming the leaves, the branches of a vine, of a grapevine, or if somebody is cutting down the reeds that he has growing, for example, in his pond, in his river, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer yarchik tefach, that is permitted to do. But what you should do is leave a tefach of growth. So if you're cutting the reeds, a tefach at the bottom, or if you're cutting the branches of the olive tree, of the grapevine, leave at least a tefach of the grapevine from the ground. So it shows that we are not indeed cleaning out the ground, if we're not all the way, in order to plant it. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kotzes Kadarko, you don't even have to leave that tefach, you can cut it, not a problem, b'kardom, with an axe, or b'magal, with a sickle, or b'magira, with a saw, or b'chol mashir zein, however you want to cut it. Ilan Shenif Shach, if you have a tree that has cracked, it's cut open by itself, Koshrin also b'shvis is permitted to tie it back on the shvis, but not all the way. What we are permitted to do is loshia aleh, not that we are permitted to tie it all the way so that it improves and fully heals the growth, elishal yosi, but we want to tie it together, and it's permitted to tie it together in order for it to not continue to split open. So if we have a branch that cracked open, you can tie it so it stays there, but not that we can improve the growth. Now, Mishnah Zayin requires two pieces of information, two concepts, two rules. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Chafei Vahisa Shabbas Haaretz Lachem Lo'ochla that the concept of the Shemitah and the growth of the Shemitah produce of the trees is to eat, but it's not for us to destroy it. One of Lacha Lamaisa, you're not allowed to throw out Shemitah produce if it's left over on your plate. And we will see another huge ramification in our Mishnah. And another thing that we need to delve into is the question that we are dealing with in our Mishnah. When is it permitted? When is it permitted to eat the peiros, the fruit of the tree, during the Shemitah year? And what we're going to see shortly is what we're permitted to do is when you normally would start eating the Shemitah produce in the field, it's not fully ripe yet, that is when you're permitted to eat the Shemitah produce as well, when you would normally eat non-Shemitah produce in the field, that is when you're permitted to eat it in the Shemitah year as well, but you're not permitted to bring it in your house, you have to wait until it is fully ripe. We shouldn't be cutting off Shemitah produce because it has hektes, it has the kedusha of shviz until it is fully grown, or grown until normally when we would eat it, because if we cut it too early, that is no longer la'ochla for eating it, but that is the shachta, that is destruction of it. So the Mishnah says, "Umei masay ochlin beiros aliyim shviz." It comes in different stages. Hapagin mishiyaz richo. It is permitted to start eating the produce of the tree that has kedusha shviz when it comes to unripe figs. When they start to turn red, in that situation, ochel ben pito besada, it is permitted to eat them together with our pas, with our bread. That's how it was normally eaten in a non-Shemitah year. You can start to eat it in the field in an informal fashion, but you're not allowed to bring it into your home because it hasn't ripened yet, and accordingly, cutting it off from the tree in order to bring it home would be hashchasa, that would be destroying the Shemitah produce, and that's not la'achla. You have to wait until it's bichalu, until it grows large, and once it grows large, then we can pick it, konis l'toch ba'isu, and then we can bring it into our houses because it's fully edible. V'chein kiyotzeb, and the same thing applies when we have large figs, b'shar shnei shavua, that applies in the rest of the years, the non-Shemitah years, years 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle. Only once those figs have become large are they chai b'maisos, is that when we are obligated to take off chumas and maisos, but before that they're not considered fully edible, there's no chiyuv of chumas and maisos. Now we're going to apply that same concept that we saw by figs to grapes, and in the next Mishnah we're going to talk about olives, and what we're talking about Mishnah Ches is habozer, if somebody has unripe olives. So it has two stages. When are we permitted to pick them and eat them? Yishievi mayim. Once they start to have some juice, if we would squeeze them, some juice would come out. Ochel bo pito basada. We're permitted to pick them and eat them in the sade. So that's not considered destroying what could be Shemitah fruit, but that is picking off in a normal fashion and eating Shemitah fruit, even though it's not fully ripe, but we're only eating it out in the field when working there. Hivish. And once it has grown, at that stage, we'll just read the Bar Tanura, Hivis Kishiyaschiluli Special, once it starts to become ripe, Ad Shachartzanim Shebifnim Nirim, once the seeds can be seen through the skin, that is when it's Hivish, Kones Lesoch Beso, that is when we can pick it and bring it into our houses, that's when it's considered edible. V'chein So the same thing applies once it has reached that stage, that it is somewhat ripe, so we can see the seeds on the inside of it. In the non-Shemitah years, year 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle, that is when Chai B'Masos, those that produce, those grapes would be chayiv and chumas and maizers. Now the same concept, or similar concept, Mishnah tests when it comes to zeisim, when it comes to olives. We're going to have three stages when it comes to olives, not just two. Mishiach nisu revis le sa'ah. At that point that we have enough, if we have a sa'ah, which is the volume of 144 eggs of olives. So if we have eggs in that amount, that volume of olives, and it can produce a revis, which is a quarter of a lug. That is 1.5 eggs volume of olives. At that point, potseya v'ocha basada, we would be permitted, when somebody is working in the field, you could break open those olives, you could soften them and eat them, but only in the field, because they're not fully edible yet. Level number two is yichnisu chetzi lug, when that se'ah of olives, which is 144 eggs, a volume of 140 eggs of olives, they make now not a quarter of a lug, but a half a lug. So it's the volume of 3 eggs instead of 1.5 eggs. At that point, kotesh, where it's permitted to crush those olives, v'sach basadeh, and use it to anoint ourselves, our bodies, in the field still, because these are not fully ripe. We can't bring them in. If we would take them off the tree in order to bring them into our houses, that is not la'achla, that's destroying it, because he did not let it fully ripen on the field. What's considered fully ripening on the tree? Hichnisu shlis, once those olives have reached a third of their eventual full size, that is considered fully edible. Kotesh basadeh v'konis l'toch beis, so you're permitted at that point to crush it in the field or in your house. You can also crush it in your field. In other words, now's the time that you can use it for olives or for olive oil, because that is considered fully edible. V'chein kiyotze b'em b'shar shnei shavuah. The same thing applies once olives have reached a third of their full growth in the rest of the Shemitah cycle years, and the years 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle. That is when chayavim b'masros, that is when olives are obligated in chumas and maizros. So now that we've gone through three different fruits, we've gone through figs, grapes, and olives, well, how about the rest of the fruits? The shar kolberos, the ilan, when it comes to the rest of the fruits of the ilan, they don't have two different stages that we can start eating them in the field and we can spend with them in our houses. It all applies only one stage, ka'ona asana maestros, at the time that they are obligated to take maestros in the rest of the years 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle. At that point, when they have considered ripening, for purpose of maestros, can Onas on the Mashvias, that is considered when they are ripened for purposes of Shvias, and that's when we can pick them and bring them into our houses and eat them in the field or our house. We don't distinguish when it comes to the rest of the fruits. Mishnah Yud deals with the situation. At a certain point, prohibition that we mentioned before, starting in Mishnah Zion, of Aisas Shavas Arat Lachem Lachla, that the Shemitah fruits is for you to eat, it is not for you to destroy. So we are dealing with an issue in our Mishnah. When can we cut the trees, fruit-bearing trees, during the Shemitah year? So the high-level concept is once they start to grow the fruit and you cut down the tree, that is destroying what would be Shemitah fruit, and that is violating the prohibition of hashchasa. That is destroying Shemitah produce. That's not making it la'achla. So the Mishnah says, "Meimasai in kotzatin aylem b'shvius." When can we not cut off a tree that would be bearing fruit during the Shemitah year, because that is not la'achla? That is destroying Shemitah fruit. Beit Shammai omrim kol ilan mishiyotze. Each tree, it's going to depend when it is motzi. What is it motzi? What is it growing? Either new leaves during the spring or new fruit starts to grow. At that point, you can no longer cut down that tree. You could cut it down before, but not at that point, because that would be destroying fruit with the Kedusha Shvi. So Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel fundamentally agrees, but with certain exceptions, to Charavim, when it comes to carob tree, you cannot cut it down during the Shemitah year. Mishi Yeshal Shelu, once the carobs hang down because they get a little weighty, then you cannot cut the carob tree down. V'agafani, when it comes to the grapes, Mishi Yagreu, when the seeds form in the grapes, that is when you can no longer cut down the grapevine. Ba'azeisim, Mishi Anetsu, when it comes to olives, once they start to blossom, you cannot cut down that olive tree. Ushar Kolila Mishiyotzi, and when it comes to the rest of the trees, that's when Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai, that's either when the new leaves come out or the new fruit starts to come out. How about when does the prohibition end, that you can now resume to cut down trees, fruit-bearing trees, during the Shemitah year? V'chol ilan kevan shabala onas masrat, when it comes to all types of trees, Once they have reached the time that the fruits have ripened enough that they are chayv and trumas and maestros in other years, in years 1 through 6 of the Shemitah cycle, because there are no maestros in the Shemitah cycle, that they would be obligated because they've ripened enough that they're chayv and maestros, muta lekatuza in the Shemitah year, that's when the prohibition of cutting down the tree ends and it would be permitted to cut down those fruit-bearing trees. Now, truth be told, there's a second prohibition in cutting down fruit-bearing trees, and this applies all years, not only to the Shemitah year. The Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chav says, Lo Tashchi, says Eitza, you're not allowed to do Hashchata, you're not allowed to destroy fruit-bearing trees. So there are certain heterim to that. For example, if it is not a very productive tree anymore, it's gotten old, it doesn't yield a lot, so it is permitted at a certain point to cut down that tree. So when is that point? V'kama yehe bezayis v'lo yukutsanu. So when it comes to an olive tree, what's the cutoff that up to a certain yield, it's not permitted to cut it off, but at a certain point that is not yielding enough, and one of the heterim is that the tree is worth more than the yield because you want to cut it down for firewood, so the firewood is more than it's yielding. So when it comes to an olive tree, when is it permitted or not permitted to cut it down? Rova, so the Mishnah says, as long as it's making a fourth of a kav of zeisim, of olives, which is 6 eggs by volume, then you cannot cut it down. But if it's yielding less than that per annum, then you can cut down that olive tree. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he's of the view, akol lefi azayis, he disagrees in having an objective criteria for every olive tree, setting it at six, at the volume of 6 eggs, but rather it depends the quality of the olives. If the quality of the olives is high, then it's going to be even less than the volume of 6 eggs, but if the quality of those olives is low, then it's going to be more than that volume of 6 eggs.